There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Geek Trippin'.
Yes, indeed. We are gig tripping. Casey's packed, passports at the ready, and we're going to hit the road once again to witness an absolutely cracking gig this week. Having met this band, and I know you have as well, Steph, I know they're a real cool bunch of guys, some of the nicest in the music business, and here's a little taster of them. 'Cause if one day you wake up and find that you're missing me, and your heart starts to wonder where on the earth I can be, thinking maybe back here to the place that hit me. And you see me waiting for you on the corner of the street. So I'm not moving. I'm not moving. What am I supposed to do when the best part of me was always you? And what am I supposed to say when I'm all choked up that you're okay?
Gotta say, Shuthi is doing the actions of a teenager with a hairbrush.
I think this is a gig that you'd like to go
yes,
on, isn't it?
I love the script. Absolutely love them.
What do you love about them?
Well, the main guy, obviously.
Yeah, Danny.
Gotta tell you, though, I interviewed them at Atlantis a few years ago when they came out.
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah. I've got my interview, not yours.
That's fine, because my interview was rubbish and I got into massive trouble because the recorder hadn't worked properly.
Oh, no.
It was one of those. But I didn't think Danny was the guy when I interviewed them. There's a guy who's bald.
Yeah,
who's
he's the drummer.
Lovely.
Yeah, and
like,
he's got more personality.
Guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well actually, you know, just like you, I was lucky enough to chat with, it's Mark, Glenn and Danny. Those are the three guys out of the script. And it was Glenn who told me how the band all got started.
I suppose it started when Mark invited me out to Los Angeles to just hang out. I met Mark in Dublin through some musical friends. And he said, come on out to LA, check it out and check out the scene and stuff. So I hopped on a plane literally and flew over there. And when I got there, Mark took me to a studio where Danny was just in a room jamming out, having a little buzz as he does. And the three of us just got in and started jamming together. That's really, the start of the script. We were just jamming out as mates, just trying to make some music and see what would happen. It wasn't a case of let's be a band. It was just a case of we all play instruments, let's get in a room together. And that's really where it started from. Mark took the initial demos then and brought this to some record company people that he knew. And they loved it so much, they said they wanted to sign it. I was back in Dublin at this point, and he called me up and said, I'm after playing this music to somebody and they want to sign us. And I thought he was winding me up, but he was telling the truth. And that's how it started. It sounds like it's a made-up story, but it's actually the truth.
Yeah.
Sounds like you really gelled straight away. I mean, sometimes you can be in a band and it doesn't quite feel right. Was that the feeling that you got?
Yeah, for many years, that's the feeling we had. Many years we've tried various different things and tried our best to go in and out different bands, and it never felt right. And Glenn always said it's like a missing piece of a jigsaw sometimes when you finally meet other musicians that are very like-minded musically. And that's what happened. It was very organic, it was very natural for us. And actually, it was the first couple of songs that we wrote together which ended up going straight onto our album and ended up being releases for us and things like that. So it was very, very organic, very natural process for us.
Yeah, I liked them. I had a nice bunch of lads.
That's why we're not super famous yet, though, you know.
Hey?
One of the band members is wrong.
Is what?
Wrong. One of the band members.
What do you mean he's
wrong?
Who is
it? In our band?
Our band.
Our band?
Yeah. Our band.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I do all the arrangements and the keyboards. You can't do without me, can you?
Well, who wants a band without Maracas, isn't it?
So
just me, then. Shuthi. Yeah. Thanks. Blame Shuthi again.
I'll tell you what, this gig is going to be happening in Paris, okay? It's at the Olympia venue in Paris, 27th of Feb next year, 2018. So it's not that far away. I mean, Paris is one of your favourite places, isn't it?
Yeah, and as the only French-speaking member of this band, I think you'll need me.
However, you say you're the only French-speaking member, but because we can't speak French, you could be saying anything. We wouldn't know.
That is true. I could do that.
Now, Danny, who is, I think, Shruti's favourite from the band, not so much Steph's.
Well, Shruti's a bit more shallow than me.
Yeah.
True.
So, Danny, I asked Danny from the script, I mean, who is, I think he's got a lovely voice, who he listened to when he was growing up?
I used to listen to Stevie Wonder, Boys to Men, Brian McKnight, Take Six, all just kind of, I guess, African-American soul groups.
I mean, those harmonies in Take Six were pretty spectacular.
I grew up, because all my families are either musicians or singers, so we grew up harmonising together. It was really kind of, it's a great thing to do in music, you know, and then you find out there's a lot of bands out there who can do an incredibly... doing whole songs with just four people, the whole a cappella thing, just kind of, that's what drew me towards music originally anyway. Mark, I guess, was kind of into, you know, R&B and really heavy soul and stuff like that, and Glenn was into funk and rock,
right,
growing up, so I guess you can put all those in a pot, you know.
Yeah, it's a fair mixture,
minus the dancing.
and
you come out with the script.
So, listened to a lot of soul music when he was growing up.
You really couldn't say that about my family. We harmonised together. We never did that at home. Did you do that?
Doris Day classics.
Your musical. Did your family harmonise together?
No, never. My mum and dad weren't really that musical, so it was just me.
You harmonising alone in your bedroom.
Yeah. Playing the organ in the living room and looking out the front window. That was a lot of my... But, I mean, musically, I mean, do you like their music? I mean, you've mentioned that the guys, perhaps, you know, you like one of them.
I think their music is chuck-away stuff. So I think it's really good when it first comes out, and I enjoy it, but it's got shelf life.
Producer not happy.
However, then I like it again. If I don't hear it for a long time, I think they're the kind of band that get tons of like radio play.
Yeah.
And if you hear it too much on the radio, you get sick of it pretty quickly, don't you? But then you hear it again after a few years and you're like, oh yeah, that is a good song.
I mean, I actually told them straight when I got there. I said, you know, prior to doing this interview, I never heard of you.
Oh dear, that's always a good way to start an interview, isn't it?
I said, it was actually my son that was freaking out that I was going to be interviewing the script. Yeah. And so I said, well, play me some of the music, Luther. And he stuck some on and I really liked it. Really loved it. So they warmed to me a little bit.
Thankfully, we've got Luther.
I know.
So I asked them about the lyrics of the songs, because I think that lyrically, you know, these songs connect because they're about real people and real lives.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I think that they're the things that matter the most is when you evoke emotions in other people. I think people connect to our music so much is because of the feelings that they feel in the songs. You know, they can relate to it. And I think, as we often say, a problem shared is a problem halved. You know, if they can identify with what you're talking about, they don't feel so alone in their pain. So unless we write about stuff like that, it's very hard to go on stage and open yourself up to an audience and put your heart and soul into a performance as well. So it helps when, you know, you're invested in the music and you were there at the start when these songs were being put together, you know.
Yeah.
Real lyrics about real lives.
I wonder if they'll keep going. I do think they'd be a bit flash in the pan, the script, when they first started.
Well, I mean, Danny started doing the judging, didn't he, on The Voice?
Yeah.
And I've not heard much new music coming out from there. Is there a new album?
There is. The Rain, that's a new song by them. Yeah, it just came out, I think, a couple of months ago, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. Of course.
I mean, I'm loving Steph today. She's saying, well, I don't really like it. It's throw-up music. It's pretty good.
No, do you know what it is? I think I don't want to be the person who likes the script.
Well, it's not trendy. It's not...
It's
a cool thing to do.
There's something in me that's like, you're not the kind of person who likes a script, but I do enjoy an odd song.
So I asked them about that, writing new material, you know, because they're constantly on the road, they're travelling. It mustn't be that easy.
It's incredibly difficult when you're moving around. We're in such a modern and fast world right now.
Yeah.
You can go from city to city quicker than you could ever before. So they do. They make us do that, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's really hard to be as creative, I suppose, as maybe musicians used to be 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So what you do is you tend to just... the good thing is you have... The modern age has also brought great things like laptop computers where you can really get your ideas down. And and that's what we do. We separately collect our ideas. We're all individual songwriters as well. So, and then we kind of come together and bring all those ideas together.
Okay.
And sometimes it sounds like it's going to be a big car crash, but it's loads of fun that way. But really, it's incredibly difficult on the road, you know.
Right. The thing is about the script is they also appeal to different generations. They're one of those bands that, you know, if you brought your mum or your dad or your grandma the album, they would kind of like it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't like turn the nose up immediately and say, no. Oh, I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, which is, I think, is a real good skill when it comes to songwriting, to appeal to different generations. And that's what I asked them, you know, how do they do that?
I mean, again, these are all things that kind of followed when we wrote the music. You know, we didn't sit down and go, right, how do we get every generation to like
No.
We're just very lucky, you know, I guess, and I think that's just true expression of truth. through the songs, you know, actually singing about something that means. I know it sounds ridiculously simple, but we do. We just go, right, well, are you feeling it? Yeah, are you feeling it? Yeah, well, yeah. If we can stand up on stage with our hands in the air and
it's real music,
meaning it, then, you know, I think that's infectious.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
your belief in your own music is infectious too, you know.
Yeah, believe in yourself. And my final question was, I had to ask it, you know, where did this name, The Script, come from?
The name, The Script, I suppose we got this name from, we started the band in Los Angeles. And everybody there is looking for the next script. And also when we call each other up on the phone, all the time, we still do it. We say to each other, what's the script or what's the story? What are we going to do today? It's just a phrase we use.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in that case, wouldn't you think they would have been called The Crack? What's The Crack? Do you think?
Well, Irish people do say that a lot, don't they? Yeah. No, well, they are called The Script.
So we're going to see The Script. We're not going to see The Crack.
Gig tripping.
Yes, indeed, we're off kick tripping all the way to Paris to see these lads.
You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame, yeah. And the world's gonna know your name, yeah. If you could see me now, if you could see me now, would you stand in disgrace or take a
Yeah, so we're off to see The Script. It's funny, you know, Steph is the one dancing and raising her hands up and moving around to all the tunes. Say she didn't like them, eh?
Can't stand them.
So, yeah, we're off to see The Script this time around. Tuesday, the 27th of Feb at the Olympia in Gay Paris, or the City of Love, they call it, don't they?
Do you know, I'm so confused because I've been in Switzerland for the weekend, but everyone's speaking French. It's French-speaking Switzerland, so I feel like I've just come back from France.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
You've come up from Switzerland.
Aye.
Yeah. It's not the same thing, is it? Anyway, I did a few sums on this one, starting with a flight to Paris. It leaves on Sunday the 25th, so we'll be in bags of time for the gig. And that came in at 2,408 dirhams. If you want to go in style, then Emirates flies direct as well, 2,825. But if you can stand a stop-off, then Saudi Airlines, with a stop in Jeddah, comes in at 1,380, which
isn't too
bad. Yeah, that's not bad, is it? Mm. Okay, now for a place to stay, found a nice little place on Airbnb. It's right in the centre of Paris, a minute's walk from the subway. And it's a beautiful little room, I can tell you. There's lots of walks in the district, roof passageways, loads of restaurants, bars and markets. And that came in at 360 dirhams a night.
That is cheap as chips,
isn't
it?
Especially in the centre of Paris.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Really cheap. And
cheap,
also,
cheap.
A ticket for the gig comes in at 200 dirhams, which ain't bad going, is it? 200 dirhams for, you know, see a headline band like that.
Is that going to be right at the front where we can feel the sweat or towards the back?
Well, if you really want to feel the sweat, yeah, I suppose that'll get you. No, it'll get you midway. It's a standard stand-up ticket, okay? So, things to do in Paris. I caught up with Anne, who's a friend of the show. She works for the Alliance de Francais. Remember Anne?
Yes,
Anne
I do.
Cabanel.
They do all of the French films
Yeah,
here,
they bring all French culture and art and all that kind of thing. So she knows it pretty well. She knows Paris pretty well. So I asked her first out, how do we get best way of getting from Charles de Gaulle Airport into the centre of Paris?
You're about, let's say, 30 to 45 minutes. If you take the RER, it's a train commuter from Paris Charles de Gaulle to Paris. It's quite easy to get to Paris from there. That would be the easiest and cheapest way. Of course, you have taxis and motorbikes, actually. You have the motorbikes with drivers that can take you directly to Paris.
So that's Anne there telling us about how we can actually get from the airport into the centre of Paris. Not too difficult.
Gig tripping.
Yeah, and we're off to Paris to see these lads.
Yeah.
fighting for it all your life. You've been struggling to make me fight. That's all superhuman.
Yeah, so the script, they're going to be live in Paris, the City of Love, on Tuesday the 27th of February at the Olympia venue. We're speaking to Anne Cannibal, who works for the Alliance Française. She told us just before the news there how we can actually get from Charles de Gaulle into the city centre. So next question, obviously, Anne, what are some of the unmissable sights in Paris?
Well, it depends on your taste, obviously. But of course, I mean, you have the usual Eiffel Tower, Paris Opera, Montmartre, Les Champs-Élysées, of course. That, actually, if you're not staying for very long and if you want to have a global view of Paris, what I would recommend is to hire a motorbike with a driver. You can visit Paris with a motorbike with a driver. You will be in safe hands and you will get to see Paris in a short time, on a morning or on a day, and I think it's a great way to roam around Paris.
I like the idea of that on back of a motorbike. You can do that in Bangkok as well.
Yeah, you know what? When I turned up in Paris last time at the airport, I was on my own and I had a suitcase, and they were at the airport, and I was looking at it thinking, how would I get my case on the back of a motorbike?
Yeah, I think it's after you've actually got in your hotel you get the motorbikes, don't you? You know, yeah. Unless you're travelling really light. But I love the sound of that Champs-Élysées, don't you? Is that how you say it,
Shruti? I've seen the Champs-Élysées. Shruti's dying here.
How do you say it, Shruti?
Champs-Élysées.
That's exactly what we said, Shruti.
Yeah. Champs-Élysées. Now, it's a city full of culture, of course, and Anne told me where we could get started, you know, to really soak in the culture of Paris.
Definitely. You have so much museum. My recommendation would be, of course, you have Le Louvre, which is unbeatable. It's important to plan ahead because the queues are very long for Le Louvre. And you also have to check that it's a day where the museum is open. I think, don't get me wrong, but I think it's closed on Tuesday. But better to check, but make sure that the museum is actually open on that day where you want to visit. Le Musée d'Orsay is actually a very nice museum with all these 19th century paintings. That's really great. It's one of my favorites, actually, Musée d'Orsay. And not so far from Musée d'Orsay, you have the Institute of the Arab World Institute. So that's not a big change. You're going to tell me if you're coming from the Middle East. But what's very interesting there is that you have a terrace with a panoramic view and a cafe, and that's really one of the best view in Paris. You get to see the Notre Dame, the cathedral of Paris, and a nice view on La Seine, the river of Paris. It's great, and it will be, again, the perfect time to go on this terrace, as the weather will be normally super nice.
There's plenty to do then, isn't there? Plenty of these museums. You've been to some of them, Shruti, haven't
you? Yeah, the Musée d'Orsay. It's really cool in Paris. They have this thing. The first Sunday of the month, you get free entry into all of the museums, I think except the Louvre. But it's really cool. You can just go around, walk around, see these museums, walk past the river. It's amazing.
It's good advice.
It is good advice. Now, I mean, the foodie experience, we all know about the fine dining, but I thought I'd put Anne on the spot and say, you know, give me an authentic foodie experience.
I just recommend to go to a bistro, a café, or a brasserie. That's, I mean, you have plenty in Paris, and that's really typical of Paris. I have one particularly to recommend. It's a Frenchy bar. It's located on the second district of Paris, and it's praised by the critic at the moment. They have foie gras, they have a great card on the menu. It's one of the best places at the moment in Paris. Yeah, Frenchy bar.
I'll tell you what else I learned when I was in Switzerland, not France, this weekend. But a lot of the comedians, I was there for Montreal Comedy, and a lot of the comedians do English stand-up in Paris. So there's obviously a big English-speaking comedy scene
there,
too.
There's a market for that there, yeah. With a French accent.
No. Proper English accent. And comics from all over the world that go there to do it in Paris.
Amazing. I bet that's a lot of fun. Now, I also asked about kids. You know, if it's a family that's going along to this gig, what is there for the kids to do?
I would recommend the Parc de la Villette, especially if you are with younger younger kids. Parc de la Villette, it's a great place. It's one of the largest parks in Paris. And you have plenty of things to do over there. Walk around, but you have La Cité des Sciences de l'Industrie, City of Science and Industry. It's one of Europe's largest science museums. And you have as well the Conservatoire de Paris over there. It's in the 19th district of Paris. And it's really great because you can just like wander around the park, but as well enjoy the Parc de la Villette, which has many attractions for younger people. Really great.
Plenty of parks, I think, in Paris.
You know, I always think about when I think about Paris, I think about sitting in cafes outside, watching people go by, eating sardines on toast. That's what I think about.
Sardines on toast. So there's a few tips then from Anne about things to do, things to get up to whilst we're in Paris, seeing the scripts at gig. I got my calculator out and found out that the bottom line, if we fly direct on Air France, stay in the Airbnb for 4 nights, we can make this trip happen for 4,048 dirhams. Now, I don't think that's bad at all.
It's not too bad for a quality band in one of the best cities in the world.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.